Blog Talk Radio.
Don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. I beat with radio if I don't play they show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Radio.
Now, are you worried that you might have to take it to a next step if the Iron Man match doesn't work out, or are you even focused to that at this point?
Yeah, I'm not thinking about anything but Josh Daniels in 30 minutes. and for, you know, as a lot of my lady friends can tell you, it's not every day that Chris Wilde does 30 minutes, so. So I'm looking forward to that match.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
Shut up.
Because the only thing I'll be feeding you is your pride.
Hmm. Listen, I don't think there's a plate big enough to hold my pride. And are you calling from the bedroom? Because I know you were up late last night, pal. You can't do that two nights in a row. I know you're on the floor somewhere.
I am sitting at the New Moon Rising Arena, outside, waiting for you.
Well, you know what? That's kind of creepy.
Hi, I'm Bink Bottom Trouser, the ring announcer from Sideshow Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
We burned our bridge with Tully.
Why? Why have we burned our bridge with Tully?
I don't know. You were talking about spousal abuse.
Oh, I don't believe it, and if I didn't know about it.
If I didn't know about it, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
I love you.
It was alternative history or something. Or another dimension. Or
I'm sure.
If I didn't hear about it, it didn't happen.
McKinley was assassinated. I didn't hear about it.
I didn't hear about it.
Oh, Dana.
Lee Harvey Oswald. I don't know what you're talking about.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Moon landing. I didn't hear about it.
It's the ostrich syndrome. syndrome.
Anything that happened before my time
didn't happen.
Welcome to episode 53, and it is a CZW Wanted Preview edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is my gracious co-host. He is Dan, the man, the above-average comedian, Kala Chico. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hi, everybody.
Where can people find you?
Oh, you can follow me at DanLaw83.
And with us from the very start, it's always great when he's from the start. I feel honored in a certain way. It is Omega Squad Chris Green. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. You should feel honored. I don't disgrace any podcast with my presence.
Especially from the beginning.
Especially from the beginning.
Nobody wants you.
That's true.
Stop it. You can read the blog. That's HIACTalkRadio.com. You can follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. Like the Facebook. That's Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. Subscribe on iTunes. Look for us on Stitcher Radio as well. Search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio there. Tonight, of course, we are joined by Matt Tremont and Joe Gacy, two of the four people that are in the main event of CZW's Wanted coming up this Saturday night from the Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. Now, you might say two of the four. Yes, there are two other people. Masada, the current
World Heavyweight Champion of CZW, and Christina Von Erie will also be on. Not on the show, but they're also going to be on.
Says she's going to be on? Awesome.
They're going to be actually at Monster Mania Convention.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah, they're both going to be there. That's pretty cool. Tommy Dreamer will be there as well at the CZW table. Of course, that's in Cherry Hill. We'll get an address before the night's over. And that stands Q to look it up.
What?
Never mind. I'll look it up later when I...
Not on this internet connection.
Oh, okay, yes. Because Dan is live on location. Dan, where are you?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, that's exciting, Dan.
I'm so excited.
You know what? You get closer and closer to Omega Squad as we speak.
Yeah, and every time I see the sign from North Carolina, I'm like, really going too far?
We don't want you anyway.
I'm in New Jersey. Omega Squad is in North Carolina. We, of course, do have Tremont and Gacy on the show. But what I wanted to start out with tonight is... Raw, we got Undertaker taking on CM Punk. It's going to WrestleMania. It's official now. Your thoughts, anyway?
Go first, Omega.
Best possible matchup right now. I mean, if Undertaker is good enough to go, then that's the match to make. I mean, I was thinking about it earlier this week. You know, if Taker really is that beat up, then someone with the skills of CM Punk is going to be able to carry that match. So,
how about you, Dan?
I'm looking forward to it. I think that's going to be actually more exciting. Well, I'm hopefully more exciting than Triple H Taker last year. I think Punk can have a great match with him.
I certainly do, too. It depends if Undertaker is in ring shape. That's what I'm thinking.
And he doesn't have to do too much.
Well, what type of? We don't even know what type of match this is going to be.
Well, somehow I envision this going to like a submission thing, like they did with Cena a couple weeks ago, only better, where they're trading the submissions back and forth.
Well, of course, Undertaker does have the Google Plata.
Yep.
He calls it Hell's Gates. CM Punk also loves MMA. Brings some of that in there with the Anaconda Vice, which isn't really a true MMA maneuver that I'm aware of.
No.
I think it would be easy enough to break out.
I'm sure it would work.
I don't know.
Yeah, the way he does that would probably not, no, not in MMA. But
would Taker just start let?
You know what?
Taker would if you do that right.
You know what I'm thinking? And I hope this is what it turns out to be, a buried alive match, and Undertaker loses. I said it.
I kind of do, too.
I said it.
I think if you... It actually does have me questioning whether or not it could be this year.
Well, he's what right now? He's 20-0?
20-0, yes.
Yeah, there's no time like the present.
Does it really matter if he's 21-0?
No.
No, but Matt, how much does that elevate Punk if he is the guy? If he is the man?
That elevates him right to number one.
Well, it gives him bragging rights because he can say, look at all the guys at WrestleMania that have tried to defeat this man.
Yeah. But then it's just a stepping stone for him. You say, I was the, and he's used it already. I am the longest reigning WWE champion of the last 25 years. Oh, and by the way, I beat Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that old-timer, don't you?
I certainly think that has potential. Now, also on Raw, we saw probably one of the worst promos I've ever seen Triple H deliver. And that's saying a lot.
Everybody else was bored by that as well.
Just sit there and bleed. I'm sure Brock Lesnar, after a week of receiving the 13 staples, is still at home bleeding.
Yeah.
Just a stupid way to end it.
I thought it was a stupid reason, too.
What was the... See, I lost track of the whole thing. What was his reason for the match with Brock?
Well, he was saying, okay, after he went through the whole spiel of, like, he lost to Brock, and then he broke his arm, and yada, yada, yada. And then, so when my arm healed, I was right back in the gym, and I was training. And I was training, but I didn't have a reason to come back. So I'm thinking, why are you training? You know?
Yeah.
And then it's
I'm
like,
bored.
And then Brock comes, and then Brock lays out my father-in-law, and my father-in-law has hip surgery, and my wife is crying next to my father-in-law's bedside, and my grandkids are crying.
Yes,
and I'm just smiling because I have a reason. I'm like, that's the reason. If that was the reason, then why are you coming out now instead of waiting for the Paul Heyman, Vince McMahon confrontation? Why didn't you go after Brock before that? Why didn't you come back and challenge him the week after?
He was getting a haircut.
He was too busy training.
He probably had a shareholders meeting or something. I don't know.
He was getting Bruno Sammartino in the Hall of Fame.
That's true. That would be a legitimate reason, though.
Well, so. True enough. True enough there. Well, I don't want to take too much more time on WWE because it wasn't really a great week for them in my estimation. I mean, you had the Fatal 4-Way. What did you guys think of the main event?
I didn't watch it.
Wow.
I thought it was fine for what it was. I thought it was fine for what it was. I mean,
I thought the ending sequence was very well done.
I did too. I mean, that was the way, the best way it could be handled.
Knockout punch. Bro kick, RKO, and then CM Punk with the win with the GTS on Orton.
You know what? When Randy Orton comes on screen, both my girlfriend and I just go to sleep because that's what happens. I get tired.
I don't get the hate for.
You know, I don't get the hate for John Cena. So you know, it's backwards in my eye because
you don't get the hate for John Cena.
No, I don't care.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is with Randy Orton, isn't it? He's kind of gotten into that. He's been in Legend Killer mode since Legend Killer.
20 years.
Yeah, for like the last 2-3 years, he hasn't really evolved at all.
He's the Apex Predator.
You can call it. Yeah, you call him the Apex Predator. He's still Randy Orton.
I'm gonna join Armed Services and then go AWOL and then hope to make millions.
Well, on that note, Dan, I'm going to...
Or thousands.
I'm going to bring on Matt Tremont if everything is working out here with the system. So here we go. It's time for Matt Tremont.
On a long, lonesome highway, Omaha, listen to the engine moaning out his one song. Think about the woman, the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do.
How are you doing tonight, Matt?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing good as well. You're, of course, here with Double D and Dan. Now, Matt, I did want to... We're going to get into everything here tonight. We're, of course, going to... Well, yeah, but we're going to lead up to March 9th, a big opportunity for you. It's actually your first chance at the CZW World title. But before that, you've been going on several matches now with legends in this business. I'm talking about Tommy Dreamer. I'm talking about Homicide. A lot of guys. I mean, since DJ Hyde at Cage of Death, what's your feelings on this journey you've been on?
Since I started, it's just the first real big exposure I had, I think we talked about when I was on before, was the NWA Vintage Show. And that was my first big booking and hardcore match, and that just started to lead to the next opportunity and the next one and next one. And Cage of Death was just another one of those branching off moments. It went real good and just blossomed into even more. And to work Homicide in a few weeks after that, and then the next week with Tommy Dreamer, and then actually the week before when I worked Homicide, I was able to work Extreme Rising for the first time, and I got in the ring with Balls Mahoney and Blue Meanie. So just over the course of those 3 weeks, to be able to go in the ring with those guys I grew up watching, being entertained by as a fan, to be able to go in there and learn from them and have the opportunity to, get that rub off of them and be in the ring with them, and for things to go as good as they did, is just, it's been a blessing so far, and I'm real thankful of all the opportunities that have come my way so far in my early career.
Now, you're, of course, known for, the ultraviolent stuff, but is it 2 weeks ago you had a wrestling match with Crazy Ivan at New Moon Rising, which quite frankly is a little different for you. How did you feel coming out of that, considering the outcome, which you didn't really get a finish?
New Moon's a upstart company up until my debut. For a few months, I was, going there and checking it out and seeing how things were and how business was done and, the locker room. And it's a good small promotion working its way up to make a name for himself, and they seem to be doing things the right way, the small things the right way. And I had a couple friends already working there, and I wanted the opportunity to work there if it presented itself and I was available. And to be able to go in there and start the program with Crazy Ivan, another guy that I was very well aware of, grew up watching him in early Jersey All-Pro days, and if you look back at the early Jap stuff, like 99, 2000, 2001, Ivan was a top guy, state champion, did a lot of hardcore, and he can work. And to go in there and start that with him at New Moon and main event my first time there was pretty cool. I thought we had a good match, and it's going to lead to much, much more, hopefully, in the future, and hopefully it does good business for the up-and-coming company New Moon.
Now, when you do a wrestling match, do you feel better coming out of it physically and mentally, or do you kind of feel like, well, I didn't put, my body on the line, so I'm missing something?
I love hardcore wrestling. I thrive off of it. It's an adrenaline rush for me, and it's the genre of wrestling that I always wanted to do. But 2013, my biggest, goal for me, accomplishment-wise, is to not so much branch off from deathmatch wrestling, but to show the other side of the bulldozer, so to speak, and that I can wrestle and work and tell a story and adapt and work different styles and work different people. And after Cage of Death, since Cage of Death, I worked no hardcore matches. It was straight up regular matches, and that was my goal. Whatever small promotions, this weekend that just passed was the first weekend I've had off this year so far. And besides one weekend last week, I did a deathmatch tournament in Crossville, Illinois. That was my first hardcore stuff of the new year. Since then, I've just done just straight up regular wrestling, and it's a different satisfaction for me. And knowing after the match is done and it went well, and the fans responded to it, and I was happy with it, and my opponent was happy with it. I feel real good because I know I've been proving to a lot of people and promoters and my colleagues that not only can treat my, he can get hit in the head with a chair and do all the crazy stuff, he can go out there and work and still be that crazy psychotic character and prove I can be a hybrid guy and go in there with anybody.
Now, moving a little back, getting into wrestling, of course, you're celebrating your 24th birthday coming up soon.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, happy birthday for that.
I'm so old.
But the thing I wanted to bring up is you have really studied the game. And what I mean by that is you know the history of these guys, but you were really just a young kid when a lot of these guys were in their prime, so to say. So, I mean, how did you get into wrestling? I never asked you this question.
Getting into it, I mean, started at a young age, just, you know, watching it like we all do and becoming a fan. And as I say to my colleague and friend a lot, emotionally invest into a lot of characters growing up and following the angles and investing into the characters. And I was just, I guess, emotionally driven and just awestruck by how wrestling was. And I knew at a young age this is what I wanted to do. And obviously, you know, ventured into the backyard wrestling, and I did that for, you know, a couple of years. And then in 2007 is actually when I first initially started training and got my first win of the business. And I was 17 at the time. I was junior, senior in high school, and that was my first exposure with the business, working for a small place in South Jersey and other places, and that was my first exposure. Being young, I knew it's what I wanted to do, but like outside of the wrestling world, I had a lot of stuff going on, so I could never dedicate myself 110% to the cause a lot of times. And I started training like 07, and then like 2008, 2009, I'm 18, 19 years old, still, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on, I moved around a lot. Come 2010, pretty much what brought everything to fruition, and it just clicked in my head, like, you know, this is what I want to do, I need to settle down at least somewhere for a certain period of time and get the ball rolling with things. And actually myself and a wrestler now known as Xavier Cross, we came up together, we went to high school together, and we did the backyard wrestling together. And we did a trip in the summer of 2010 down to my dad's house. He lives down there. And we did a backyard match in front of like maybe 20 people. And like, oh, this is cool, man. We have fun, but we want to do it legit. So, we wound up making some contacts with the promotion DWF this time. They're in Penn Salkin. And as soon as we got back from that trip, that week, we were like, all right, let's do this. And we were both pretty much in the Atlantic City area. So twice a week, we drive up from AC, Atlantic County, up to Penn Salkin and just started training at DWF. And quickly... showed them, you know, we could do what we do, you know, and we knew what we were doing, and we're just waiting for that first opportunity. So the second coming, not even the rebirth, because I don't even count 2007. Like, a lot of guys will count years, they don't even do nothing. I don't count them years. I started in 2010, me and Xavier Cross, and DWF was that first platform to get our feet wet. I knew it was a place not where somewhere I wanted to stay per se and make a career there. It was just a good place to get my foot in the door and see where the future holds. And that's where mostly started there in the little boxing gym in Penn Salkin for Black Diamonds.
Now, was psychology something that you had to work on, or did that come naturally to you? Because that's one thing I can really say you have. You know the psychology of a match. Despite the fact you're a hardcore wrestler per se, you have that facet down of wrestling.
The psychology wise, I mean, people, hardcore wrestling, the genre and the style, it's always had its naysayers for a long time, and people are very dismissive towards it. But it's evolved over the years. Like, if you look at hardcore wrestling 10 years ago compared to now, it's a lot different now. There's more psychology, and you build up the spots with the crazy weapons, and you can really tell a good story and emotionally tell a good story, because you know these guys are going through so much pain and, just doing ungodly things physically to their body, and then mentally afterwards, like, you're drained, and it just does a lot to you. So I think psychology-wise, and selling wise, to me, I think it comes even easier doing the hardcore style. Then one of my strong points of, you know, people have told me, Matt, you sell real well, and it's from being a fan over the years of guys like Mick Foley and Terry Funk, and even newer guys like Jon Moxley, who's now in WWE, are guys I watch how they sell, their mannerisms, their facials, and to me, those little things is what I always heard were always the most important things. And you don't have to be the best wrestler in the world that everybody wants to be nowadays. And it's those little things that stuck out to me, and I think that helped me along the way and get over places and gain popularity and get bookings and just make a name for myself. And that's one of the things that after shows people come up to me and tell me. When I just recently, like I said, did a deathmatch tournament last week for Strictly Insane Wrestling, and an older fan, this is an old Southern crowd that has never seen ultra violence or extreme wrestling before. It's the first time ever in this small town. Light tubes and barbed wire, thumbtacks, never seen. So they just ate it up. And I was real excited to work in front of a different crowd, an old school crowd. And I came out as a face, and they were healing me up at first. They're like, who's this guy? And then once as the rounds progressed and the matches got more brutal and brutal, and like I said, the biggest compliment I got at the end of the night was from an old school fan. He came up to me. He was like, I'm not much of a hardcore fan, but after tonight I am now because of the way you told a story each round. You sold the arm after the second round and really tried to tell a story and show that you had some kind of weakness and you were tired towards the finals and that your body was drained and the way you sold and your facials and your mannerisms and how you took an impactful blow and stuff like that. And I think that's one of my key points that is transgressed, I guess, and has really bumped off from the fans and workers of people I've worked with, and that's always been one of my strong points thus far. And psychology as well, just telling the story is always a big thing, I think, in any style of wrestling. It's all about telling the story and having those fans emotionally invest into the match and your character and your opponent and, making sure they get their money's worth at the end of the day.
Hey, Matt, speaking of psychology, I've been up close and personal on one of your entrances. What are you thinking about when you're coming through that curtain? Because you scare me.
nothing really per se. I just... As the Metallica song starts, turn the page, and I try to emotionally invest into myself real quick and become the bulldozer. I just kind of just go out there. I don't really have anything in my head. I kind of leave everything at a blank state and just go out there and just channel my inner Terry Funk and, just try to be as crazy and unpredictable as possible and try to give the crowd and the audience that have, kind of maybe seeing the same thing over and over tonight, your generic guy, and then you have this guy coming out who's just, you don't know what's going to happen, and so everything's been so far so good, and the crowd seems to be very interactive with me, and they connect with me fast, and they believe me, and that's all, I think at the end of the day, it's all about the believability factor with your character, and they seem to do that, and I just go out there and I just do it.
I mean, for those who didn't see it, when you were wrestling Crazy Ivan, first of all, you got two characters that are off the wall, bouncing off walls. One is an inmate and one is just nuts. At the end of that match, he was outside of the ring being restrained and you were chucking chairs at him and you missed him twice and that third chair caught him right in the head and it was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was fun stuff. That's definitely some funk-esque material I politely would steal from time to time, but it just adds to the moment, and the schmoz we had at the end of everything with the no contest, and then just the aftermath of everything and the big pull part. I thought it went very well and it went really good, and I thought. So like the fans got really hot for it at the end. I felt like they were really into it, and I was happy with my performance for my first time at a new company. And I think we did good business that night, and I'm pretty sure it's going to lead to some more stuff down the road.
Now I'm looking at some of your highlights from 2012, and one of the biggest I think that not a lot of people know about is IWA Masters of Pain. You were the tournament winner.
Yeah.
And you went over, I mean, these are guys that definitely have done things in the business. Devin Moore, you beat in the first round. The semifinals, Danny Havoc. And then you defeated Masada in the finals, the current CZW world champion. So, and that was a final double hell death match. What the heck was that all about?
So far in my career, the backstory with me and all these tournaments so far, besides Tournament of Death, every tournament I've been in, Carnage Cup, Masters of Pain, or King of the Death Match, or the one that just happened about a week and about 2 weeks ago, I've had the fortunate opportunities. I've been in the finals of each one, whether it was by accident or just, you know, that was the plan. And my story was I was always this close. I was this close, and I was this close. And the Master of Pain Deathmatch Tournament has always been one of the bigger ones, and the 2012 one was the return of the whole tournament as a whole because they didn't do it for about 3 years. So it was the first one back, so it was pretty cool. And for IWA East Coast, I've worked for them twice so far, and they've been real good to me. And you know, that day when I, you know, when it was all said and done, and I was in there with you know, Devin Moore, like you said, Devin Moore and Danny Havoc and Masada, who are three of the best in the game. And I was very fortunate enough to be able to work the top guys that were there that night and have three solid matches. And to endure the finals that me and Masada did, because I took a lot of punishment in that match and really earned the trophy, so to speak, from one of the deathmatch veterans in the game. And, you know, and to earn respect from a guy like Masada means a lot to me because he's the top when it comes to this stuff. But to finally win one, you know, to grow up watching deathmatch tournaments and buying DVDs from Smart Mark Video, it was pretty cool to win one of them and bring a trophy home back to the house. It was pretty cool.
Now, of course, On Point Wrestling. This is a promotion very close to you. The first show, I would say, was an absolute success. You really packed the proving grounds. Of course, it was held at the New Moon Rising Wrestling Proving Grounds back in January, January 5th to be exact. And like I said, it was an absolute success. Do you have any more news for us about On Point Wrestling?
Like you said, it's definitely a project near and dear to myself and another who started it together, and it's, you know, our brainchild, and it's something we wanted to do for a while. And on January 5th, definitely was a success in our eyes, and I think in everybody else's eyes. Like you said, we packed the building in Deptford, you know, 200 plus fans. I think we gave them a card with a little bit of everything, and it couldn't have went any better. It went really, really good, and now the DVD's out through Smart Mark Video, and you can buy the DVD or download it from the site on MP4. And we felt like we did everything the right way to get the name out there. I think we generated a buzz within the indies. It was on the first weekend of the new year. It was right place, right time, and I think we definitely we made an impact, and I thought, no pun intended, we were on point on January 5th. And any news right now? I mean, second show's in the works, 110%, just trying to find a date. It's all about, you know, location, and placement, and, you know, when's our right time to come back? Because there's always, we don't want to rush nothing. We have something good going on, and we don't want to break the good right now. And there's a lot of independent shows going on within the next couple months, especially towards April and WrestleMania weekend. So you want to find that one weekend that's right for you, where the fans, you know, they have money to spend. They want to come out and see, you know, the new company for their second show. There's good buzz coming out of the first show, so, you know, we want to hopefully still generate that interest. So, like, all right, when are these guys going to come back? What are they going to come back with? And, you know, what direction are they going to go with the company? Who's coming back? What other stars are they going to bring in? So right now, definitely the feeling out process to see how DVD sales do through Small Mark. And once those numbers start to come in and we see how that does and see how the buzz is still out there, and to continue to push it on social media and stuff, and finding the right date to run that second show is very critical and important, because we just don't want to be one of those independent companies just to run for the sake of running. We want to make an impact, and we want to be one of those top players in the wrestling when you talk about the CZWs and the Extreme Risings and the Dragon Gates and the Vols and the PWGs. You're like, hey, that little all-point company's doing something, and I really thought we did something on January 5th, so now it's just trying to continue that momentum and placement, and, you know, second show is off to the races once we get everything announced.
Okay. One question I did have about On Point, is the roster pretty much intact, or Are you kind of answered it, or are you still trying to work new people in, kind of phase people out? I mean, or is the roster that we saw January 5th, is that pretty much intact?
The roster we have for the first shows, you know, those are guys who we wanted for the debut of the company, the core of the company, guys that we knew, guys that we trusted, guys that are good guys, guys that aren't headaches in the locker room and will go out there and just go out there and put a good product out there. And the core roster we have is pretty much set. I think maybe, and then after watching the DVD and how the show came off on DVD, pretty much the core roster still intact. I'd say minus a couple guys, and then definitely the second show come, you know, whenever it is, we'll definitely have some new names. Like, you know, first show we had Homicide, you know, definitely going to have somebody his caliber on the next one, and definitely a few surprises. Very big on Latin Dragon and the whole Lucha Libre aspect of wrestling. I think you'll see a lot more different luchadors come in and stuff like that. And maybe on point might get a little hardcore, might see women, you never know. So definitely try things. But we got a good formula, I think, so right now, and going into the next show and into the future with the company.
All right. Now, this year for CZW, you of course had the match with Tommy Dreamer and Rory Mondo back in January. You came out victorious, pinning Rory Mondo in the finish. February comes around. The main event is Christina Von Erie versus Masada in an ultra-violent match. Those two are beating the hell out of each other. And Joe Gacy sticks his nose where it doesn't belong, and you came out. Now, this goes back to Tangled Web when Joe got his business in your business. So, just explain, like, what's going on with this upcoming March 9th, CZW Wanted.
Basically, just like you said, Dean, back in August after Tangled Web, you know, he interjected himself after that. Was all done, and I'm dead. My arm's hanging off, and he comes out there, and you know, I'll give him credit because he's trying to make a name for himself. He's trying to make an impact, so I can understand that. It's wrestling. You're trying to find your niche. You're trying to make your mark and you know, solidify your spot in the company. So I can understand on that point where he's coming from. So fast forward to the anniversary show, interjects himself once again. He's been in Masada and Von Erie's business for quite some time now. And, it's the anniversary show. I'm just sitting back there relaxing. I feel like I should interject myself. I'm bored. I want to fight. So I go out there, and me and Gacy proceed to beat the piss out of each other. And big pull apart. And, you know, the officials and staff were a little taken back by what happened. It was, you know, hard to control, and we were going at it. You know, we're two hungry young guys in the business. I mean, and Gacy, he's been in CZW for quite some time. He's been there a lot longer than I have, and he's got a lot of animosity, a lot of pent up aggression. He wants the respect of the people and do it at any cost. So I can understand that. So you got two guys that are looking to make a mark in 2013, and they're going to do whatever they want and can to get that point across. So if it's a fight Gacy wants, it's what he has. And on March 9th, it was announced very shortly after the anniversary show, was the Fatal 4-Way match with myself, Gacy, Masada, and Christina Von Erie, who definitely earned my respect after that match at the anniversary show she had. She's one tough SOB. And March 9th, like you said, you know, it's 24 years of life on this miserable planet Earth, but hopefully something positive can come out of it on March 9th when I walk out of the skate zone, the next CZW World Champion. And it's one of those titles that is very I think, in my eyes, very prestigious, has a lot of history, is a legitimate world title within independent wrestling. Because a lot of companies will, you know, give their title that stature of a world champion when their title's never been out of South Jersey.
Yeah.
CZW title's been around all over the world. It's been defended in Japan, Germany, Mexico, Italy, so on and so forth. And to have my first shot at any kind of gold in wrestling, and for it to be the CZW world title, and it's besides Cage of Death, you know, that was one dream to come true. And that, you know, that's old news now. Me and DJ's done. And now what I'm looking forward to now is, you know, becoming the Combat Zone Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion 100% on March 9th.
Let's just take one step back again, though. And what does this mean to you? I mean, because as a kid, you were growing up watching wrestling. You were like a kindred spirit to some of these hardcore wrestlers. You fell in love with CZW as you grew older. And you said it before, we all start on the other side of the guardrail. This is your chance for this CZW world title. I mean, what's it mean to you?
It's a similar feeling I had, just, you know, just being able to be in the company month in and month out. Like, you know, everybody knows my story, like, you know, by now, and just like you reiterated that, you know, we're all the other side of the guardrail, and that's what I preached a lot last year, and the program me and DJ had was, you know, geared towards that, and, you know, oh, you're just some punk kid from the crowd. Well, the punk kid in the crowd that used to sit on the arena on the south side corner was main event in your biggest show of the year against you inside the most devastating cage match in wrestling. So I was proud that night. It's something I always wanted to do, and being world champion is on that same level and even bigger. Growing up, you know, watching Combat Zone on TV and DVDs, and you see 2002 was, you know, when Justice Payne was champion. You know, he ruled the Combat Zone, and he was definitely he was the franchise of the dub at the time, and he was a good champion. Nick Gage was another one. He was a good champion. Posada. He's the current champion. He's been, come March 9th, he'll have been champion for a year. Guys like Ruckus, who's like a 3 or 4 or 5 time champion, held the company on his back at times. Same thing with Drake Younger. He's the longest running champion in CZW history. So to be able to have the opportunity on March 9th to possibly add my name to the list of all the greats that have held this championship and defended all across the world against some of the best guys in the sport means a lot to me, and it'd be an honor and a privilege to represent CZW and have that world title over my shoulder and around my waist anywhere I went, and it'd be an opportunity of a lifetime in and out of the ring, and it'd be a big positive and something I look forward to doing on March 9th.
All right, Matt. Now, is there a place that the fans can follow you as you get ready to have this big match?
Social media wise, the Twitter, as it's always been, is at TremontCZW. Also now have a YouTube page, user TremontCZW. I try to get some other matches uploaded on there and promos going into the shows. On the Facebook like page, the regular Facebook page, and On Point Wrestling at One Point Wrestling on Twitter, onepointwrestling.com, and they're on the Facebook as well, and any of those social media outlets, any kind of information you need about me or where I'm going to be next or where to buy a t-shirt or whatever, you can find out all that info there.
All right, Matt, good luck as you get geared up for this Fatal 4-Way match for the CZW World title. I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight.
I appreciate it, man. Come on anytime. I enjoy myself. Thank you again.
We're back. Was the bulldozer Matt Tremont talking about a variety of topics?
Makes you want to
Makes me want to eat Oreo birthday cake.
I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, Dan, but...
I'm hungry.
Order room service, Dan.
Oh, all right. See what they got.
Omega, while Dan is going for more food, which he doesn't actually need, we're going to talk about some UFC. Now, of course, over the weekend, there was UFC on Fuel 7, and that main event, Omega.
Eight,
whatever it was, it was so good it knocked me back out into the 7. But UFC on Fuel 8, and that main event, Wanderlei Silva taking on Brian Stein, and my goodness, what a slugfest that was. Excitement for the two rounds that it went.
Yeah, that was crazy. Forward. Just two guys just standing in front of each other and just winging punches for the entire first round. Just crazy back and forth punches, just and landing. So many landing. Just crazy. You don't normally see that anymore. Just guys standing in front of each other and winging it. These guys both wanted to do it, and they delivered on that promise.
Oh, my goodness. Was that the fight of the night? If it wasn't, I don't know what was.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes.
That was well beyond fight of the night. Yes, it was definitely the night.
I'm trying to see here. Here we go. I just want to get the actual metrics here for it. And I should have had it up, I know. Let's see. Significant strikes. 43 of 83 for Silva. 43 of 76 for Stein. This is the total. The strike percentage, 52% for Silva, 57% for Stein. Total strikes, 49 of 97 for Silva. Stein had 65 of 103. And good gracious.
It was crazy. You think about a guy like Wanderlei Silva, who's just so – I mean, he's had so many wars in his career. He's not the fighter he used to be, obviously. But still, to stand there and take those punches and deliver those punches on his way to knocking out Brian Stann was amazing. Stan's a tough guy. He stood there and the punches and threw his own. He wasn't outclassed, but this one could have ended either way in any given moment.
Definitely, and it almost did a few times. I mean, how many times was Silva knocked down in the first? Three times? Two times?
Yeah, something like twice, I think.
Stein was knocked down once.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you just see those punches, and you just see a guy just drop to his knees from a punch. That just shows you, what kind of power they're generating, what kind of just crazy aggression they're throwing at each other. It was just insane. It was definitely a memorable fight. Perfectly placed in location in mm-hmm. Japan, where Silva did the most of his gained most of his fame.
Of course, with Pride FC, he was the middleweight champion forever. He was very dominant in Pride FC. He made Rampage Jackson his personal slave in Pride FC.
Yeah.
And that's when the Rampage was something to talk about.
Yeah, well, they were both something to talk about back then.
But do you think he's been reinvented now since his loss to Lieben way back? With that uppercut that just caught him at the right place, right time. Do you think this is a new time for Silva?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's he last couple of fights have been, you know, the win with Brian Stann, that was set up for him to potentially get that knockout the way he was going to do it. Because Stann was there. He wanted to fight, and he wanted to throw punches. He got Kung Lee, and, you know, that was when Kung Lee wasn't. Kung Lee isn't really anything to write home about. It's Kung Lee. Kung Lee is crazy. Don't get me wrong. Kung Lee is skilled, and Kung Lee is just got some crazy striking. But, you know, you didn't see anything from that. And then you go to the Rich Franklin fight where he didn't really get anywhere in that fight. I don't think he's necessarily reinvented himself, because this was really what he did is throw these crazy, you know, being this aggressive striker. I don't think he really reinvented himself. He just got an opponent that was willing to play into it.
Fair enough. Co-main event, Mark Hunt, Stefan Struve. Somebody left with a broken jaw.
Yeah, and it was the Skyscraper leaving with a broken jaw. That guy, that kid, I don't know. If he could ever learn to use his height, I think he could be a force. But
He had, what, 8 inches on the guy?
Oh, yeah.
And easily maybe a 10-inch reach advantage.
Yes. I don't know the exact numbers, but, I mean, significant advantages. Significant height advantage, significant reach advantage. He's a good submissioner. How do you let somebody with that much reach, why do you let anybody inside enough to do that kind of damage? And it comes down to neither guy was very, very in shape. They both gassed pretty quickly.
First round, they were both pretty done.
Yeah. And it was just sloppy after that. And, you know, as I said, if Struve ever learns, I don't know if he's not learned to fight to his length or he just doesn't want to. I don't know. I mean, it bothers me. It really bothers me to watch him fight when he does that. When he's on, he looks great. When he gets a guy down and starts throwing submissions, he looks fantastic. But when he doesn't, when he tries to strike with him and he doesn't, he lets people inside, he gets caught. It happened when he fought Roy Nelson. And it ultimately happened here. And Mark Hunt, those punches were not that fast. I mean, they were powerful. The guy's a strong guy. But, you know, it was just a matter of time in that third round until, you know, when with both guys, their hands down, flat-footed, not moving, it was just a matter of time before one guy got knocked out, and it ended up being Struve.
And if you were watching it, you might have said, why is Herb Dean calling yet another fight? It looks like Struve is okay, but we found out afterwards that it was actually Struve called it. Because he had a broken jaw.
Yeah.
He couldn't continue. It looked like he could, but with a broken jaw, I don't think.
Well, I think he said after the press he wanted Herb Dean to look at it, to pull out a tooth or something.
Yeah, to pull out a tooth from his cheek.
Yeah, and I was just...
Not going to happen.
And yeah, it was just... It was a rough KO. But, you know, everybody's calling for Mark Hunt. You know, the people who praise the Mark Hunt for getting the KO, yeah, cool, fine, but you had a guy who was standing there with his hands down. That didn't prove anything to me.
Very true, as much as I hate to admit it. I like seeing – I pull for the underdog. You have to realize this, except in the case of Dan Henderson, but we'll talk about him in just a second, because Dan Henderson is never an underdog. He's underappreciated, but he's not an underdog. But anyway – Well, he was against Silva. He was against Silva, but that's many moons ago. But anyway, getting back to the point, I like rooting for the underdog. And Mark Hunt is really an underdog with his age, but the thing is, he is a world-class striker, K-1 champion.
Yeah, absolutely, he is. He's not in – I mean, whether it's his age or his physique – he's not in a elite level of shape, and I don't consider him in the elite of mixed martial arts, even at heavyweight. I mean, I think in his last UFC rankings, they've got him up to number 9 now.
Really far?
I don't see it. I really don't. And these people, and there's maybe this is kind of like the wrestling equivalent of the internet getting behind a guy. You know, because there's so many people pushing for him to get an elite level fighter, and he's pushing for an elite level fighter. I just don't see it.
Well, let's say you give him an elite level fighter, Junior Dos Santos, for instance, someone of that nature. I see a slaughter.
Yeah, I see too. I mean, I could see a slaughter even moving up to, let's just take a guy like Roy Nelson.
Roy can certainly take a punch. He'd probably break a jaw and smile. So
yeah. Well, Roy, you know, you throw up a guy like Roy Nelson in there, or you know, I don't know who else. I mean, I can say it, Bigfoot. I don't know that Hunt can hang with those guys.
Well, he has won, what, 4 in a row now?
He's won fairly significant. He's got a streak. You're right, 4 in a row. Struve, Congo, and Rothwell. Those are 3 mid-level gatekeeper kind of guys.
Yeah, so I think you throw him in there with the Wolves and see what you can get. Junior Dos Santos, of course, now needs an opponent. Alistair Overeem is out of their fight.
Yeah.
Why not Hunt?
Yeah. To your point, slaughter.
but I'm just saying, why not?
Yeah, well, you know, if he wants to fight it, I would can't argue with him. If he wants to take the fight, if Junior's up down for it, I think
he would be. He really proud. I would say he wants a win coming off a big disappointment against Cain Velasquez. So why not? You know,
it would be a way to build up Dos Santos again. I agree.
Yeah, and especially Dos Santos would probably win in the first. I'm just thinking that would likely be the end result of such a fight.
Well, you know, everybody's got a striker's chance, and if anybody's got a striker's chance, it's Mark Hunt.
Yeah, so. K1 champion and plenty of accolades, but he now has a 9-7 record. What can you say?
Yeah. No. You know, if he gets to fight, more power to him. I don't know. I mean, I still don't. I just don't see it with Mark Hunt, and maybe I'm just biased somehow. I just don't get it.
How about UFC 161? We now have a main event, I do believe. We have Dan Hendo Henderson, right, taking on Rashad Evans.
Is that
161?
That is 161. Yes.
Okay, so UFC 161, you have Dan Henderson, Rashad Evans. Do you see yet another fighter that will not engage Dan Henderson and someone who will dance to another victory?
Hard to say. Because Evans will engage, has shown he will engage in other times. So, maybe, but I think the difference in this fight is I think Evans will be maneuverable and will actually attempt to hit Dan after moving, as opposed to the last fight with Machida. But I think it is going to be him. I think that he's going to try to follow Machida's plan, use his athleticism, use his speed, and try to avoid his punches. So you'll see a lot of dancing from Rashad. But I think you'll probably see him probably try to strike a little bit more than Machida did.
Well, hopefully.
Or try to take him down.
That's true too. That is true because Rashad Evans is a very good wrestler.
Yes. So I mean, does he want to challenge Hendo on the ground? I don't know. They're both really good wrestlers, so you could get a kind of a lay and pray fest too. Potentially.
True, or hopefully ground and pound from big ol' Hendo.
But with that being said, I think Evans is susceptible to that big right hand. So
we've seen that in the past, yes.
So you know, if Henderson can keep it on the feet long enough and can managed to bait Evans in, like he couldn't do with Machida, and get that right hand in. He can knock Evans out. So we'll see.
We certainly will. That's coming up in the future. But right now, something that's happening in the present, of course, CZW Wanted coming up this Saturday from the Flyers Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. We already heard from Matt Tremont. Another person that's involved in this main event for the CZW World Heavyweight Championship is Joe Gacy. Now, Joe Gacy has been around CZW. He's a little frustrated with what's been going on. This is his house. He's been there the longest. We're going to hear from him, see what he has to say right after this.
Well, the first little piggy, while he was kind of picky, spent most of his days just dreaming of his day. And then one day, he bought a guitar. He moved to Hollywood to become a star. But living on the farm, he knew nothing of the city. Built his house out of straw, what a pity. Then one day, jamming on some chords, along came the wolf, knocking on his door.
All right, so with us right now is the Chainsaw Joe Gacy. Joe, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing all right. I had an interesting day today, but I'm doing all right.
Okay, Joe. We are going to talk about this big main event. But before we get there, we're going to go back in time a little bit.
All right.
We're going back to Tangled Web. You asked DJ Hyde, of course, the CZW owner, you wanted a shot. You wanted to make an impact. You chose, after the main event, to get involved with Matt Tremont's match. Of course, he was involved in Tangled Web that night. You went out there, you attacked him. Why'd you do it?
I mean, at that time, it was, you know, it was nothing personal. It was more of a, I needed to show DJ. I mean, apparently everything I've done, you know, in the past, apparently meant nothing to DJ. He's so frustrating, honestly. He overlooks everything. All he cares about is what he's doing. He doesn't pay attention to anything else that's going on around him, even though he, you know, runs the freaking company. And he doesn't realize the crap I've been doing, busting, you know, my hump, trying to, you know, climb to the top of CZW. And when I ask him for an opportunity, all he does is, you know, what have you done to prove it to me? So, like, really, it was no favors to DJ. It was more of a favor for myself to come out and get involved in that match. I mean, it was, you know, no love between any of them people involved. It's really, you know, it was really for myself. I really just needed to show him that, you know, I needed to stop being looked over.
Okay, so you got to stop being looked over. Now, one thing... let's go a little further back. You talked about your accomplishments. Of course, you and Ryan Slater were the Runaways, a very successful team in CZW for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So what does this amount to for you? I mean, just frustration that he overlooked all this?
I mean, it's, you know, it really, like, my opinion, since day one in CZW, I've been there for going on 7 years now. Like, I just feel like there's some kind of black cloud hovering above my head the whole time, because anytime I get that close to doing anything, anytime I get that close to winning a title or anything like that, I just get the shaft. Like, I get bad luck, and I don't understand what it is, and it's really frustrating. I get so close, and something happens to screw me over.
Now, of course, we had Matt Tremont on earlier tonight. Here is a clip of something he had to say. We'll be right back in about a minute and a half.
Back in August, after Tangled Web, you know, he interjected himself after that was all done, and I'm dead, my arm's hanging off, and he comes out there and you know, I'll give him credit because he's trying to make a name for himself. He's trying to make an impact. So I can understand that. It's wrestling. You're trying to find your niche. You're trying to make your mark and you know, solidify your spot in the company. So I can understand on that point where he's coming from. So fast forward to the anniversary show, interjects himself once again. He's been in Masada and Von Erich's business for quite some time now. And, well, I mean, it's the anniversary show. I'm just sitting back there relaxing. I feel like I should interject myself. I'm bored. I want to fight. So I go out there, and me and Gacy proceed to beat the piss out of each other. And big pull apart. And, you know, the officials and staff were a little taken back by what happened. It was, you know, hard to control. And we were going at it. You know, we're two hungry young guys in the business. I mean, and Gacy, he's been in CZW for quite some time. He's been there a lot longer than I have, and he's got a lot of animosity, a lot of pent up aggression. He wants the respect of the people and do it at any cost. So I can understand that. So you got two guys that are looking to make a mark in 2013, and they're going to do whatever they want and can to get that point across. So if it's a fight Gacy wants, it's what he has.
Now, hearing that, what are your thoughts about what Matt Trema had to say?
Well, to be honest, he obviously thinks I'm trying to make a mark now when, you know, I've been there for so long. I feel like I've already made my mark in CZW. Like, I mean, for God's sakes, I almost killed DJ Hyde more than three times. He's, you know, he's still new to CZW. He doesn't really, I mean, he feels like he grasps maybe everything in the company, but he really doesn't understand everything, the way things work, because, like, you know, he comes in, he's done, you know, this and that. He can hit people with some weapons. That's cool, I guess, but he made events Cage of Death when he really honestly hasn't ever done anything, like, you know, in my opinion, he doesn't even really belong in this match, like, straight up and honestly.
Wow. So you're saying he doesn't even belong in this Fatal 4-Way that's coming up on Saturday?
No, like, okay, his big accomplishment is he won Cage of Death against DJ Hyde. Okay, I threw DJ Hyde off the top of a ladder, almost killed him. After a few months before that, me and Sammy Callahan almost strangled him to death with a noose. Like, that's old news. I've beat DJ Hyde up so many times, I'm bored with it. And he thinks he can beat DJ Hyde once in Cage of Death and thinks he deserves a title shot. That don't make no sense to me.
Going along with that point, you have had your chance with Masada before. Of course, the first time was in Delaware. Back at, I forget the name of the show, but back in Delaware, you guys had
Redemption.
Redemption, thank you. Fans bring the weapons match. You lost that one. You had your shot again in January. You lost that one. Why do you deserve the title shot?
Now, here's the thing about that. Look at my two title matches. I have not had a real title match. I had Fans Bring the Weapons against Masada. Obviously, he's done those stupid matches before. That was not my idea. Christina Von Erich thought it would be okay to make it a Fans Bring the Weapons match. And, I mean, what am I going to do, back down from Masada? No. No, that doesn't work. I got to go in there and fight him. But a Fans Bring the Weapons match, that is not what I signed up for. And the second match, me and Masada, I mean, anybody who's anybody obviously saw what happened there. Christina Von Erich comes in, decides to smack me in the face with a chair for God knows what reason. Apparently, she's obsessed with Masada. I really don't understand or really care to understand, but she can go do her thing. I don't really care to look at her face anymore. Honestly, that's my two shots. And you know exactly what I said, a black cloud flying over my head. What all I want is a single one-on-one contest with Masada, because I know I can beat him, and I don't care what people have to say about it. I don't want weapons. I want to beat him one-on-one. That's all I want. And for some reason, that opportunity is not showing itself to me.
Joe, would it come down to, you know,
I don't want to imply anything, but taking Christina Von Erie out and getting her out of the equation, out of the way?
I mean, that could be. I feel like at this point that's something I might have to do.
Mm. Wow. Now, Matt Tremont also came out with a YouTube clip, earlier in the week, and here is what he had to say, and it is edited for its profanity, so here we go.
All right.
To be the best, you gotta stomp the rest. I'll stomp the ever-living at each and every one of them in order to achieve another dream. And Joe Gacy, you get in my way, and I'll knock you the out. March 9th, you're looking at the new CZW World Heavyweight Champion. Hear me! Fear me. Believe me.
So what we have here is two guys that are hungry. You and Gacy, and even like he said, two hungry guys. What do you have to say after hearing that?
He doesn't really know what he's in for. I mean, if he's coming into that match, you know, coming after me, that's fine. I'll break his nose if I have to. I really don't care because obviously me and him have never really seen eye to eye into anything anytime we've come in contact with each other. So, I mean, if he's really going to get in my way between me and Masada and Christina Von Erie, he does not belong in my business. He thinks that I'm in her and Masada's business when in reality he is in my business and he needs to back off before I break his leg.
I mean, at this point, is the title secondary? And is it primarily just about inflicting pain and revenge?
No, honestly, with me, I feel I deserve to be the CZW Heavyweight Champion, and that's all I'm out to do is win that match. As far as I'm concerned, I really don't care what any three of them do after this match, but all I know is they're the three standing in my way, so I'm going to have to do what I can to win that title.
Now, what type of match is this? Is it right now it's just the stipulation is the four-way, or are we going to have something thrown in at the last – well, you wouldn't know if it's the last minute, but right now
you know,
as it stands
– as it stands at the four-way, and if it changes, I'm going to be pissed off, but, I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm going to have to use it to my advantage, obviously, but, I mean – These fans, all they want to see is blood and guts when they can't appreciate wrestling. Like, I can beat Masada. There's something they don't understand is that I can beat Masada, and I don't understand why I can't grasp the, I don't understand.
Now, another thing going along with that, I know through conversations we've had after shows, in private, that you want to make 2013, you really want this to be your breakout year. You've been around long enough. This is your year. I've seen you training. I can feel it for you. Just describe that to people that you might not have talked to.
Well, honestly, like, going into January against Masada, that was supposed to be my moment. In my mind, that was supposed to be my moment. And when Christina Von Erie got in the ring and smacked me in the head with that chair and ruined my match with Masada, I think anybody that was there can obviously see I was more than very angry. I really did not know what to do with myself. Otherwise, than taking it out on Masada or Christina at the moment, I had to get out of there before I may have done something I regretted. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, that was supposed to be my moment, but the only thing I can do from here is go up. So I really have been training hard. I've been working out. I've been going to the gym. I've been wrestling as much as I can because this year is going to be my year. Mark my words, there's nothing in this year that's going to hold me back, and I will do everything I can to accomplish what I want.
Now, what's the first thing? You said you're going to do anything to accomplish that goal. What are you doing to get there? Like, what's some things you're doing differently than you have in the past 6 years?
Differently, I've actually been very focused on working out, I guess. Normally, I would work out, but lately I've been very focused on it. Like, I'm going to the gym 5 days a week. I'm running, I'm lifting. I'm in a ring at least three times a week. Really would like it to be more. And also this year I've been getting in the ring with guys that I've been learning from, not only wrestling, but I've been learning from them, guys like, you know, somebody I came up with, Adam Cole. I've had these matches with these guys, and what people don't realize is I'm wrestling all these matches, but not only am I in the match, I'm learning. I'm learning and I'm studying everybody I get in the ring with so I can better myself.
You do have your critics out there. Even Matthew from Botchamania, he called you the worst wrestler last year. What does stuff like that, does that motivate you?
Okay, you know what? First off, Matthew that does Botchamania, you know, I wish I was praised as a wrestling person for editing a few videos, number one. I don't understand. When that guy shows up to CZW, all the people, like, get excited or whatever. I don't understand. He's a guy that makes videos. What the hell does he know about wrestling? First off. Second of all, when people say, you know, my critics say things about me, I take it two ways. Number one, first off, half of them don't know anything, so I'm like, I don't care. But then, you know, deep down underneath, it does get to me a little bit. But the only thing it's really going to do, it does motivate me. Like, there's nobody that exists that's going to make me quit this business. There's no way that's ever going to happen. People are just going to have to understand I'm here to stay. And if you don't like me, well, I really don't give a crap. You know, you're only going to fuel my fire and motivate me more to be better. And, you know, one day when I'm on top, everyone's going to be looking up at me going, wow, I can't believe I thought he was awful. It looks like I'm stuck with him.
No, that's definitely a good way to look at it. And that's what I was hoping, because a lot of times there are critics out there that don't think that you're good enough. And I'm just saying in general, not just you, but they don't think you're good enough. They don't think you can do it. And I think the best medicine to give somebody like that is to show them that you can.
Yep, I agree.
All right, Joe. Do you have any final words on this huge opportunity? And you've had a few opportunities against Masada before, as we discussed, but this is a huge opportunity, and you don't have to pin the champion to win. I mean, maybe the strategy, as Dan was alluding to earlier, is to go after Von Erie. I mean,
I do have a few things to say, actually. Number one,
good.
As we said earlier, I have been in CZW for 6 or 7 years. I am somewhat of a combat zone veteran, I guess you could say. And I've also been in CZW longer than all three of them. I don't care how long Masada's been in the business. Yeah, he's been around. He's been to Japan. He is the CZW champion, and he is undefeated. That's fine. He's only wrestled me 2 times, and I almost beat him both times, and still, I got screwed. Okay, the last time, if it wasn't for Christina, that match would have been mine. Now, as for her, she does not even know me very well. Because anytime she's come to the shows, she's always been following Masada around without him looking. Okay, she came out with me a few times, and that's fine. She was trying to get closer to Masada. She doesn't know anything about me. She's been in CZW for a cup of coffee, and I'm going to smash her face in with a chair.
Mm.
And as far as Matt Tremont, the man who took the back door into the wrestling business, listen, Matt, if you think for even a second that you're going to show me anything about being a new, you know, CZW superstar, I want this man to remember this. If he's listening to this, if he can hear me, I want him to remember this. Maybe that crowd is chanting his name right now. But as long as I have been in CZW, I've noticed one thing, that people do not stick around. There's not been a lot of guys that rise to the top and stay there. And I will also make another statement that, believe me, Matt, when Nick Gage comes back to CZW, you're going to be nothing but a forgotten memory because nobody will care.
So, that's, of course, this Saturday. It's a big show. Flyers Skate Zone, make sure you get there. Tickets are $20 for general admission. Check out czwrestling.com for all the updates. We're going to go over the card a little bit later. But, Joe, thanks for coming on.
Always a good day. They're always a good time.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to this match, and it's going to be incredible.
It will be, and I think that anyone watching is going to see a different side of me that they haven't seen before.
All right. Joe, you have a great night.
Thanks. You too.
One day, he bought a guitar. He moved to Hollywood to become a star. But living on the farm, he knew nothing of the city. Built his house out of straw, what a pity. Then one day, jamming on some chords, along came the wolf, knocking on his door. Little pig, let me in.
So that was Chainsaw. Joe Gacy, unbelievable.
That
I love
man,
it.
Man is an intense, intimidating mofo.
Yeah, you asked him about, is he going to take out Christina Vanieri, and what's he say? Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm going to hit her. Yeah, I'm going to hit the pitch.
That's part of it.
So he's going to hit the pitch with a chair.
You know what? She deserves it.
It's going to be an incredible match. That
After
is,
you better watch it.
Yeah, well, I saw Joe I think it was the next day after that came out, and it was just so fun. The first thing I said, I'm shaking his hand, and I said, "So you're the worst wrestler in the world right now." And he goes, "Oh, F Matthew," was his only response. So it was weird to me that the CZW wrestlers actually pay attention to what he does. Of course, Botchamania is a big thing, so. I was just surprised that people paid attention to it.
I watch it too, but I never thought for a minute that they were paying attention to that.
Yeah,
like, who cares?
That was my whole thing. I was like, but.
But I can see why. I mean, you know, we've seen it before. Somebody getting mad over things that have been said.
Indeed, Dan. But of course, 7:30 is the bell time. That's CZW Wanted, coming from the Flyers Skate Zone in Fort Keys, New Jersey.
I still would like to see a show there.
Best of the best, Dan. That's all I'll say. Now, Masada taking on Joe Gacy, taking on the Bulldozer match, Rian Monte.
That's amazing.
Christina Vanieri, that's for the World Heavyweight Championship. We're also going to have, now this...
Real quick, we're going down the card. What kind of a chance does Christina Vanieri have in that match, after all that?
She has proven herself as a very tough woman. Because if you saw last month, it was at the anniversary show for CZW, it was Christina Vanieri against Masada in an ultra-hardcore match. And she showed she could do it. She lost that match, obviously, against Masada,
right.
But she has the heart to definitely make it. And for your, really, I think it was her first match in CZW, to be in a main event with the champion. I mean, that's really an amazing thing. And now, she showed heart.
Well, you got three guys that are trying to, that are, you know, insane and mad, that are trying to kill each other.
Yeah,
we're, you know, a little concerned, but it's just me.
I agree. I definitely agree. These guys are very motivated. Masada has been champion for about a year.
I was going to say, it's been at least a year.
And he's had open challenges. He's taken on people like Davey Richards from Ring of Honor fame. He's taken on El Generico. He's taken on top guys, not just only in CZW, but in all of independent wrestling. So he has proven that he is a fighting champion, and not just against, you know, picked guys. These are guys that have accomplished a lot of things in a lot of different places. And He's shown his worth, really, as a champion. He's won me over. I'll put it that way. If you talked to me 6 months ago, I would have said, oh, Masada. Now I'm like, Masada.
Just say it differently.
A little bit, yeah. I guess that's the difference. Now, for the CZW Wired Championship, that is going to be A.R. Fox. He is the reigning champion, and another guy who has shown that he belongs in CZW, taking on a friend of the show, Azriel. That is a big opportunity for Azriel and for Loco as a whole to bring home some championship gold.
No kidding.
Of course, A.R. Fox has had trouble in the past with members of Four Loko. The last time was at Tangled Web against Alex Colon. But this time, we're going to see Chrissy Rivera hopefully bring home some gold for Four Loko.
I'm all for that.
Definitely. CZW World Tag Team Championship, the catalyst, and that's Dustin Reyes and Eric Ryan. They are the champions right now. Of course, won in controversial fashion at the last show, taking on the Nation of Intoxication, Lucky 13, and Devin Moore.
Who?
Exactly. Moving right along, you have Pick Your Poison. Pick Your Poison. Adam Cole taking on an opponent of Sami Callihan's choosing.
Uh-oh.
Now, the three men that they can pick from.
I was about to ask that. Go ahead, Dean.
CZW owner DJ Hyde. Tommy Dreamer.
Whoa.
And Jimmy Jacobs are the choices for the Pick Your Poison. One way or another, all three men will be in action.
Who would you pick, Dino?
Who would I pick?
That's what I said.
If I were Sami Callihan and I were picking the I would pick probably DJ Hyde. There's unfinished business there between DJ Hyde and Adam Cole. Now, it's another Pick Your Poison match. It's Sami Callihan versus an opponent of of Adam Cole's choosing.
Who are the three?
The same three.
Oh.
So I guess since it's saying that one way or another, all three men will be in action on March 9th. I guess there could be a handicap match of brewing. I don't know. I don't know, Dan.
You got to get to the skate zone and find out.
Now, a premier, which is becoming a premier wrestling venue.
It is.
That's crazy.
It is. They shove it all. Oh, my goodness.
It's on our logo.
It is. Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, I said that.
It just gets better, Dan. I'm only halfway through the card.
Oh, my God. Let's go.
Nevaeh, in a Bombshells match.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Taking on Jessica Havoc, Dan.
Whoa.
From WSU. Yes. Big match there. I can't contain my excitement. A three-way dance, Dan. Now, who do you think is involved in a three-way dance? You're familiar with at least one of the competitors, I do believe. It's Greg Excellent.
Yes, sir.
Alex Colon of Four Loko. And Alex Reynolds of the Slap Hunters.
One of my favorite people. Alex, let's play Who's in My Mouth, Reynolds.
That's right. The lights went out. Fusion DS went out there for a match. This was in Delaware. Fusion DS goes out to defend their titles against the Slap Hunters. The lights go out unexpectedly, and we could hear it clearly from ringside.
You just hear it clearly. Everybody goes, oh, there's silence. Everybody's looking around. It just, above all the white noise, all you hear is, let's play Who's in My Mouth. Oh.
Then Damian Dragon clapped his hands. Lights came back on.
Lights came back on, and that was a great match.
It really was, and one that I think they could have capitalized on, but who am I?
Apparently nobody.
Exactly. Okay, we also have Ohio is for Killers, and that's the Christ Brothers, taking on the Gulak campaign, and it's not announced who from the Gulak campaign it will be. Will it be Drew, whoever else in the campaign. You never know, Dan.
See, I know who Drew Gulak is.
We all do.
I don't know who that other guy is.
Oh, they're a great team. The Christ Brothers are really good guys. It's part of a faction, Dan, the Brothers and Sami Callihan.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all from from Ohio.
Ohio, I was getting that.
Yes. Mm. Now, the match that I am most looking forward to, Dan, Shane Strickland taking on friend of the show, Bandito Jr. Make sure you get out there and support.
Bandito Jr. Support Bandito Jr.
Support Bandito Jr. He is a friend of the show, a friend of mine. I'm going over to his house next Thursday.
I believe that, actually.
Going over to his house, we're going to have some tortillas.
I don't believe that.
Some tortillas and some salsa. And I can't wait for it. But this match, you really...
Stop trying. I'm sorry.
This match is...
I'm sorry. Straight face.
Next week, the outro will make more sense with everything I'm saying. But Shane Strickland really had a great series of matches earlier last year with Rich Swann. They had a great series of matches. Rich Swann, of course, won the last of the matches, and that was kind of the blow-off. But Bandido Jr., he's really just been doing tag team action with Azrael. This is really his first chance to shine in a singles competition. And like I said, this is probably going to open up the show, I'm thinking. And what a way to open up the show with Bandido in some singles action. What do you think, Dan? What do you think about Bandido's opportunity?
I think that is a one man when he gets an opportunity can capitalize on it, and I would not. I'm picking Bandido in that one.
You know what? You really, and of course, the X Factor, Dan, Chrissy Rivera will be at ringside.
Oh well, sign me up.
I'll tell you what, she is 4'7" or something of just intensity, Dan. Intensity and anger.
Intensity, I'm just saying intensity never looked that great. I'm just saying.
That may be true, Dan, but of course that is Saturday, March 9th, this Saturday. Bell time is at 7:30 p.m. They're starting a new partnership with RF Video. There is the iPay-per-view will be on tape delay. You'll be able to see it on Sunday at RF Video. They're going to for $9.99, Dan, you can get this on RF Video for 14 days, a 14-day rental. Now, of course, that's Saturday, March 9th, 2013. Bell time is 7:30. Flyer Skate Zone, 601 Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey. I just have to say, experience wrestling, that's like nothing else.
How about you get in there?
What?
Capacity. How many?
Well, I would say at Cage of Death, there was easily 600 to 700. That's
really great. That's a small, intimate show, but not too small. Like there's a lot of people there, but there's not a bad seat. That's pretty incredible.
I certainly do agree.
And for $20.
Yeah, $20. Just go and enjoy the show, because it's going to be a great night of action at Flyer Skate Zone. And yes, Joel, he is in Voorhees still. That's all I have to say about that. Now, Omega, I just wanted to touch on a few points here. Of course, Alistair Overeem had to pull out. Junior Dos Santos now needs an opponent. What do we think about this?
Well, you know, who do you give him? I mean,
we talked about Mark Hunt.
We talked about Mark Hunt, and that makes sense. Yeah, I haven't had a lot of time to think about who would be the next obvious opponent, but I think you got to think about raiding some other show.
Oh, really? Like you would say go to Bellator and find an opponent?
No, I'm saying like raid another heavyweight fight.
Pick apart something else maybe, but you don't want to see Congo again. Nobody's. I mean, who's really at Dos Santos' level?
Well, I mean, if you're considering Mark Hunt, does it matter?
But you're considering a guy that has had 4 wins in a row. You're considering a striker, an elite striker.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you don't have to have a striker. I mean, we can try to go the wrestling route if you want to. I mean.
Well, but I'm saying you're throwing that. I mean, who would you, besides Hunt, at this point, say?
I don't know. I mean, I would think about giving Roy Nelson the shot if he gets past Congo or whoever he's fighting next. Who's Roy Nelson fighting next?
Roy Nelson is fighting somebody. I know that.
Yeah. Yes, he is. I can't remember who he's fighting next. But, I mean, like, I would give Roy Nelson a second chance, for example.
But, I mean, Roy Nelson has had that chance. He didn't down. He wasn't knocked out, but he has had that chance.
But I'm talking fill-in here. We're not talking Yeah, I mean, is it a one time opportunity thing, or is it a we need a good fight for we need a good challenge for Dos Santos? I mean, we don't want someone who's.
How about Daniel Cormier? I know he's wrapped up with Frank Mir, but what
he's
about
Frank
the newcomer?
Mir.
Well, yeah, I know he's wrapped up in that, but.
Well, I mean, and that's what that's next month. So you could conceivably, well, that would be a quick turnaround, but.
Just looking at all the heavyweights that they have on their page.
Yeah.
Moorcraft, Mitrione, no.
No, Mitrione's coming off a loss to Nelson. You don't want to do that.
Who's Sean Jordan? I don't know much about him.
Yeah, he's not.
No.
He's an up-and-comer. I wouldn't.
Dave Herman?
No, Herman's not a good choice. No, I mean, I think you look at Cormier potentially if he comes out of Frank Mir's the Frank Mir fight with a little bit of damage. I mean, you could look at maybe Todd Duffy.
Really, Todd Duffy? Now that's a name I didn't expect you to throw into the conversation.
Well, you know, you look at that big guy like Todd Duffy and you say, well, let's see what he, you know. I don't think you put him up there. He didn't have a good outing that last fight. But you know, you could make a case that he was very highly touted a couple years ago, obviously before he had his before he lost his job when he got knocked out. But you know, he's coming in. He's a big guy. He's a muscular guy. Another striker. He's going to stand there with Dos Santos. You could get a striking battle out of that. I'm not saying it's a good matchup, but, you know, it's someone who's, I don't think, has a fight coming up and, you know, could make at least an entertaining fight, potentially, for as long as it lasts.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they have some trouble filling that fight. Maybe Dos Santos just waits for Overeem to come back. Because he has a quick turnaround, like 4 to 6 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, and that's why I don't know what the next. I don't know what the next fight for him would be. What is Overeem's injury, and how long is it going to take?
It's undisclosed, but you know, with the advances of TRT in MMA, I think he'll be able to make a quick rebound. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Great. It's all good.
4 to 6 weeks for the average individual, but for Overeem, 2 weeks. 2 weeks tops.
That's strong. He fights clean.
Oh, my God, yeah. Sure. You know, Nevada, they still haven't made up their mind. I didn't mean to go into this, but Nevada still says, no, TRT is completely acceptable in the world of MMA. And it looks like Dana White came out this week, and he's saying we have to look at it a little bit closer, regardless of what the Nevada State Athletic Commission says. So you have a little bit of controversy here because you have a lot of guys using it. Even Dan Henderson used it his last fight. So,
yeah, I mean, there's plenty of legitimate medical reasons to have it, but whether or not it has a place in fighting, I don't know.
I read an article where pretty much they were just saying it is a performance enhancing drug. Bottom line, that's what it is. Are there legitimate reasons? Yes. Is it being abused? We have seen in the past that people will find a way to abuse things to have an edge, a competitive edge. And a guy like Dan Henderson, he's 43. I don't like talking about Dan Henderson in this way, but even a guy 43, you have to wonder, without TRT, would he be able to do what he does?
Yeah, but you look at Dan Henderson, you don't see this blown up guy either.
That's true too.
You know, you see. I mean, he's fit, but he's not Alistair Overeem. You know, he's not ripped and shredded to the gills. You know, he looks
even in that case, neither is Chael Sonnen, who loves using TRT.
Yeah. Well, look where that's got him.
Well, apparently he gets some title shots at least.
No, his mouth gets some title shots.
Well,
I
true.
Don't think it was his performance in the ring that got him title shots.
True. He looked so outclassed. His last fight against Silva, but it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, you know what? The other thing I was thinking about, well, maybe for Dos Anjos, is maybe someone, like, we're talking about rating, and this was the fight I was looking for, was the Big Nog or Fabricio Werdum.
Why not Werdum?
Why not Werdum? That's what I think.
What the hell's he been doing since he had that Roy Nelson fight?
He fought Mike Russo at UFC 147 in June of last year.
Yeah, but I mean,
and he was waiting for a fight.
Here's a fight.
Well, but then he got picked to do the Ultimate Fighter Brazil.
Oh,
that's for is he's scheduled to fight. He's coaching the Ultimate Fighter against Big Nog, and so they're supposed to rematch on the finale of that in June.
And that would be a rematch too. UFC 90. These two fall.
Yeah. So, you know, does it? You know, could you make? They may not want to do that because it is the finale of the Ultimate Fighter. But if it's me, I'm thinking, well, I don't really care so much about the coaches fighting on the Ultimate Fighter.
No,
it's a marketable fight. And I have my number one heavyweight without a my number one contender heavyweight without a fight. You know, I would give him one of those two. That's just me.
I would too. We're going to be right back though. I am going to play. We did receive some new music from the Mystery Men. This is going to be off their album coming out very shortly. Card Subject to Change is the name of the album, and this is Gear Up from the forthcoming album. We'll be right back in about 4 minutes. We'll be right back.
Men with Gear Up on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
My goodness. Everything they said just gets better.
Get your heart pumping.
He's got some fast hands.
My goodness. I'm telling you, the drummer. Good gracious.
Now my arms are tired.
Wow. But getting back onto a serious note, this past...
I'm going to bring it down now.
Yeah, just yesterday the news came out that legendary manager Paul Bearer passed away. And, of course, this is resonating through the wrestling world. Dan, I'll start with you.
I was going to say, the first thing you think of when you think of The Undertaker, you think of his little mortician with the really high voice that I can't do right now, and my voice is shot. And the impact those two made in the WWF years ago, but really beyond that, that some fans don't even know about, Percy Pringle III and all these other plays, WCCW, he's in World Class, he was in NWA, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
The impact he made was so many wrestlers. I mean, the list of guys he worked with and did things for, comparable to Bobby Heenan and other great managers, it's just staggering. That's the impact on the wrestling world will be lost. And he just worked 11 days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was working to the end.
But Percy Pringle, of course, his name is William Moody. I'll tell you, I can remember when he took over the reins to The Undertaker. A lot of people forget that The Undertaker was managed. He was brought into the WWF at Survivor Series.
That's right.
With Ted DiBiase.
Million Dollar Man. With Brother Love.
Yeah, his first manager was Brother Love. And,
which makes sense.
And then the reins were turned over to Paul Bearer.
And a perfect fit. Undertaker! I can't do it, but it's just... When he buried him in the
cement
mixer, it's like, no, don't do that.
No, Taker, please don't do it.
Yeah. With a forgettable feud with the Dudley Boys, unfortunately, something like that happened. But,
he was in TNA for a little while. He was on Twitter. And the last couple of years, I was following him on Twitter, and I was liking him a lot more because, his favorite dog, he had many dachshunds, and I was following him about, you know, his wife passing away a couple of years ago, and, you know, it's just sad.
Now, Omega, how do you feel about a guy like Paul Bearer?
Well, you know, unlike you guys probably, I really only have the WWF and WWE periods to really that I've ever really ever seen him in, and you know, but you think back to that early 90s, late 80s era, and you know, he's synonymous with, you know, one of the great managers, you know, being that guy who's that mouthpiece who can sell his client as being, you know, just dominating and destructive, and you know, the gimmick works so well. He plays that you know, funeral parlor guy so perfectly well.
Well, that was
playing off Undertaker, and it works great.
That was because he actually was a mortician.
Yeah, well, it works perfectly.
I think somebody asked him at a recent WrestleCon, you know, about used to being mortician, and his reply was, I don't know, actually, I still am. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a far cry from actually doing a real job and then playing one on TV, you know? And he managed to do both. So
I remember when he tried to embalm The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that on Raw?
No.
Or was it the other one? And tried to embalm him.
I one of my favorite Paul Bearer moments was when Paul Bearer was at his home during an episode of Raw, he was not in the building. And he was talking about Undertaker, this, that. It was during when Kane first came to WWF. And lights started flickering, and then they come back from a commercial, and Undertaker beat the crap out of him, you know, and just really, I'll just always remember that moment of the Undertaker, you know, the 6'10" guy just beating this poor rotund manager in his own home.
I do have the unfortunate memory of them stuffing him down a sewer.
And, of course, the last time you saw him in WWE was on an episode of SmackDown where Kane kidnapped him, taped him to a chair, and put him in the meat locker.
Well,
he always comes back for these unfortunate things that happen to him.
You know what
he never leaves the company on a high note. You know?
The Jim Ross of managers. Yeah.
He doesn't really have redemption at this point.
Well, but no, you know what? I think WWE should make the call, do the right thing, put him in the Hall of Fame this year.
Right now. Bingo. Next week, we have another inductee in the Hall of Fame. And about the...
What, you're saying no, Omega?
No.
Give him... I don't know. It just seems too reactionary this soon.
Well, of course, Guerrero wasn't reactionary.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but you had at least
months.
You had 6 months, though. I mean, and this, you know, we're talking 6 months versus 5 weeks. I think that you don't do it this time. It's too soon. Two wounds are too fresh.
What a buzzkill.
You wait till next year, and you do Taker and Paul Bearer at the same time.
Wow.
2 years from now.
I kind of like that, actually.
You mean put
them both in the Hall of Fame at the same class?
I was gonna say, wait, we're gonna kill Mark?
No, but I'm just saying, I don't know that I don't like that because I think they both accomplished so much on their own.
I was gonna say, yeah, I mean, Paul Bearer did so much before that. I mean, that was the end of his career, like not the end of his career, but that was like. The last step of his career was, okay, I'm in the WWF now. The 20 years before that was just, you know, staggering.
But you don't, you mean, you, yeah, but every wrestler has their things they do before, well, not everyone, but most of these wrestlers we have in here, I have many things, accomplishments there that are Hall of Fame worthy that they put him in at the same time for. But, you know, there's something, to me, or something fitting about you putting Undertaker and Paul Bearer in the same class.
It makes up not putting Randy Savage in because we have to have Leap and Lenny in at the same time.
And Angelo.
Well, Angelo, I agree with.
It just seems appropriate to me because they're you know, Undertaker obviously did a lot of things on his own without Paul Bearer, but if you're going to induct Paul Bearer, you know Undertaker's going to go in at the same time. Want put them in together. It just makes sense to me. But, you know, but maybe too soon because Undertaker may not want to go into the Hall of Fame next year. So maybe if it's going to be 3 or 4 years before you induct Undertaker, then I say, yeah, okay, go ahead and do Paul Bearer, whenever.
I got you. Just some guys that he managed along the way. Blackjack Mulligan, Dingo Warrior. Of course, he became the Ultimate Warrior later on. Eric Embry, who was huge during the ending days of World Class.
No kidding. Great
Kabuki, Jack Victory, Kane, of course, Coco Beware, Lex Luger, Mankind, Kamala, The Undertaker, Ted Arcidi, too.
Maybe oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe not as well known as some of the others on the list. But
I didn't know Jack. He did Jack Victory at one point.
Yeah, I mean, so he's really had, you know, there's at least...
He manage the Missing Link?
Yeah, Missing Link. That was during World Class. Missing Link has had so many managers because part of the gimmick was he couldn't talk. So he always needed a mouthpiece.
Who was it? Was it Hart? Was it Gary that he was, well, what time are you going to pick up my bag? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Well, I can't go out in public. Watch your bags. You go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So definitely there, the passing of a legend, and I'm saying Hall of Fame. this year. This year.
His website's still active, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, until...
It's a huge website.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I would be remiss if I did not bring up New Moon Rising Wrestling, the next event. The best wrestling that you will see in South Jersey on March 16th is coming up. Of course, that's the Ides of March, a day late. That's what I'm calling it, at least. The Ides of March.
Ides of March plus one.
Plus one. Now, we're plus I because it's Roman.
Oh, boy.
Greek or something. Anyway.
Go away.
Well, it's Roman. But it's going to be a great show. It's going to be Mike Reed taking on Tank Tolan for the heavyweight championship of New Moon Rising Wrestling. We're also going to have a lot more action. Next week, we're going to be joined by O-Dawg.
Oh, yeah.
And Cienda Duvall. All I can say, Chris, is you don't want to miss this.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
okay.
Chris. Thanks.
You're welcome. I will not miss it.
You don't want to miss this. O-Dawg and Cienda Duvall actually will be in the house to talk about their big match with Dan MacDaddy Ron Starr.
Right, Chris. Awesome.
That was a cue for you, Dan.
Oh, for me? Oh, no, that's going to be a great. Well, they have no problem. Due diligence, Chris. Due diligence.
I'm fired, Ed.
You know, Ron Starr has ran off with Cienda Duvall twice, and she's appeared at the show. And, like, we're assuming everything's okay, but I'm hoping we get some answers and, if not, some revenge on why he keeps abducting this poor girl.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, that was David DeCook talking about the Centralia Impact.
There's a very intelligent man talking a very serious problem, and here comes Dan Law with the comment about flaming fire.
Flaming fire, Dan?
Yes, it was sarcasm about the flaming tap water. Flaming fire. Flaming
love
tap water. Come on.
Is a burning thing.
Flaming fire, Dan?
I'm not impressed by your performance.
No, I'm not.
So, of course, the Ides of March, coming from the Proving Grounds, 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W, in Deptford Township, New Jersey.
Exit 25A on 295, right there, folks.
We'll have DVDs available from the December event.
Top-notch production.
This weekend, keep your eyes peeled for another Scoop Slam.
It's like a hit and run. They happen sometimes.
That's for sure.
Click YouTube, your refresh on YouTube constantly.
Yes, that's what I do. I'm like, is he going to put anything out? Anything? That's what I do. But I can't wait for it. March 16th.
And by the way, follow the New Moon Rising production company, Moose Knuckle Entertainment, on Twitter at MooseKE.
Well, yes, that's of course the, I guess you could say the...
Production house.
Well, but they don't put the New Moon stuff out with that. So follow Moose Knuckle, but follow NMRW Inc. on YouTube. Guys, we ran down that card. It's a big show, but there's a lot of shows coming up this weekend. Depending on where you are, you have a lot of choices this weekend. Of course, CZW... there's DTW down in Vineland, New Jersey. A New Moon Rising Wrestling star will be in action there. Nathan Avery taking on Al Snow.
Whoa.
Yes. No, but DTW, of course, that's damn, that's wrestling, and wow, that's a big show. There's also other matches there. There's also a show in Hamilton, New Jersey. There's also a show in Philadelphia. Breaker Morant is having a fundraiser.
Oh, that's...
in
man,
Philadelphia.
I wish I could get to that one, actually.
A big fundraiser there.
Breaker's a good guy.
No, he is. He is. I don't mind saying that. But this show has been amazing. Of course, Matt Tremont came on to discuss a lot of things.
And it was live.
And it's at Tremont CZW if you want to catch up with him on Twitter. And, of course, Tremont CZW if you want to catch up with him on YouTube. And just type in Matt Tremont on Facebook and you'll find him.
He's not hard to find. He's not hard to miss.
Certainly. Joe Gacy, of course, on Twitter is at Joe Gacy.
Not hard to miss either.
Not hard to miss.
My favorite status updates from him, like, anybody doing anything tonight?
He he's always asking. He does like to go out, doesn't like to stay. He's very, just so much pent-up frustration and energy that this man has, Dan. Just can't stay still.
Oh, the one time I'm going to hit him up when I'm in town, I'm going, now what, we're going here. You coming?
Yes.
Now CB shows up.
But anyway, you can find him at on Twitter, at Joe Gacy. Of course, follow CZW Wrestling on Twitter, at Combat Zone. That's their Twitter. That's their official Twitter. Go to CZWrestling.com, and they have tons of updates. Of course, I'm calling it right now, the match of the night, if it's given enough time, and it should be, Shane Strickland, Bandito Jr. Shane Strickland, Bandito Jr., but the main event, very important for two guys in that main event, Matt Tremont, Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy's had a few opportunities. They didn't go his way. He wants a wrestling match one-on-one with Masada. He doesn't get it this month, but he will have the opportunity yet again to take away the gold for CZ. And it, like Matt was saying during his interview, it is a very prestigious title. This is, you ever hear of Dean Ambrose? That's John Moxley.
I was going to say, that's Moxley, yeah.
And he held that title. Several people have held this title.
That title has become pretty prestigious in the last 15.
It certainly has, and both guys, and of course Joe Gacy, like he said when we talked to him here tonight, he's been there the longest.
The only thing I miss about Combat Zone Wrestling is the Combat Zone.
Well, yeah, that was the Combat Zone for... They actually held more shows at the arena than ECW.
W did, yeah.
So
I saw one. I had been to four or five ECW shows before they left. And I had been to... I was at two of the three PWs. Because I think there was only three. And I went to one CZW show. And I always wanted to go back, and I hadn't gone back since. And it's not because I didn't enjoy the show, it's just out of... I just haven't gone.
Now, I'm looking here. Chikara held 42 events there. Let me see. I'm going to put this in... trying to put it in order. Well, it won't let me put it in order, but anyway. Chikara had 42 events there. 32 events goes to Ring of Honor.
That's it, huh?
ECW had 105.
Seems like it should have been more.
Combat Zone, 133.
See, it seems like there should have been more all the years they've been there.
But they were only running monthly, so you figure 12 shows a month. Still, 105 is a lot.
Doesn't seem like enough.
No, all right, Dan thinks that's not enough. I think it's more.
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. It seemed like it should have been more.
WWE held one event there. Same with TNA.
TNA, yeah.
Just looking, Jersey All Pro Wrestling actually held 13 events there.
Does it say 3PW?
Let me see.
No, Propane Pro Wrestling.
Propane?
Yeah.
Oh, Pro. I was thinking, yeah.
3PW. Propane.
25 shows, Dan. 25 shows.
Really?
Yeah, Pro Wrestling Unplugged actually had 28.
Why did I only think there was three shows?
I don't know. They did run a while. Maybe we should try to get the Blue Meanie on.
Let's get Blue Meanie on.
We can talk about that.
All I know is Jasmine St. Clair. It was Jasmine St. Clair and Blue Meanie's company. Like, they found it and owned it.
Yeah, but don't bring up Jasmine St. Clair if you have them on. That's
no,
a,
I wouldn't.
That's a lesson that Brady learned all too well.
I would never do that. I wouldn't bring her up mostly because... Why bother?
Brady brought it up, and he said, "Why?" The Blue Meanie's response was, "Why don't you bring up my dead grandmother while you're at it?"
Good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Why don't you bring up? Because she left that company high and dry, took it all away from them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And yeah, Christ, yeah, why bring that up? But Brady learned.
And the reason why 3PW left is because Rob Black and the stupid XPW came in, signed an exclusive lease. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, XPW ran out of there for their East Coast headquarters. And then Shane Douglas took it over and the company fell apart, which the company was doomed anyway because Rob Black's an idiot. But that,
yeah, yeah. Also, check out the Mystery Men, Dan. I do want to bring that up because the Mystery Men, awesome guys. Follow them at the Mystery Men. Is there a number after their thing? Or is it just the Mystery Men on Twitter?
The Mystery Men.
The Mystery Men. There you go. Search for them on YouTube. There's always some amusing stuff on there as well. But unless we have something else. Do we have something else, guys? Or we pretty much...
I don't, sir.
No, nope, I'm good.
All right. So for Omega Squad, where can the fine people find you, Chris?
The fine people can find me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
Screw you, Dan.
Dan Law 83.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, the most sought-after man in independent wrestling.
You're going to get shot.
Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. Until next week.
Actually, would you return to Triple D?
No.
3D? 3D Dixon?
No. Not going to do it, because I don't care. So, for everybody, have a good week.
Peace.
Good night, and good luck.